You see, a lot of times people go around with different burdens and things like that in our hearts. But you see, when we come to the presence of God, when that presence comes down, He heals our hearts. He does a work in the heart. By the time we leave here, we are lifted up. That is God's design for this end time. Praise the Lord. So I will be sharing this afternoon, by the grace of God. I'll just take a shaft of light from what Mommy shared last time when she shared with us. Lord, as I go into your word, Lord, I duck under covering, consciously and deliberately, stripping myself of every confidence my yet have in my heart concerning and my knowledge and ability to preach your word. Lord God, I ask that the same grace upon them will be upon me for these few minutes to share what I believe you have given unto me. Help me this afternoon to speak as an oracle of God, Lord, to bind the brokenhearted, to let the captives go free, not for price, not for reward, Lord. Lord God, to declare the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, that he might be glorified in the name of Jesus Christ. My Father, my God, also pray him to be concise and precise, not to say things that are unnecessary. Help me to be like a scribe, instructor of the kingdom, to bring out of the treasure of your word things both new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom in the name of Jesus Christ. My Father, my God, I also pray as the word goes forth, let it cause our wills to become more humble, our minds to be further enlightened by revelation knowledge of Christ's love, and our emotions to be further controlled and tempered by the power of his proof spirit. Lord, let us become and cause glory and praise to go to the name of Jesus this afternoon, and blessings and edification to us, the sons of men. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank God for covering, Holy Spirit. The title of my message this afternoon is The Appearing of Our Profiting to All. Let's say that the appearing of our profiting to all. Last week when Mommy was sharing, she quoted from Psalm 73 about envying the wicked. And she said she's not talking about anybody, she's talking about herself. And I was like, you are talking to me, man. Not in a condemnatory way. But I've seen in my own life many times that my feet have slipped until I go into the sanctuary. That's why I come to church and I hear a word that points purpose and destiny, that makes us realize what God counts as important and what God considers as just an advertisement. Like she said, let's know Bible's book of 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 15 and we'll read. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 15. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. What else do together? 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 15. Thank you. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them. That what? Thy profiting may appear to all. We did it one more time. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. What was Paul instructing his son Timothy to do? He was giving a personal instruction that applies to every individual Christian. He says, make sure you meditate upon these things. Upon what things? He mentioned it earlier on. He said that godliness is profitable unto all things. Can we link the scripture because of time? So he said, meditate upon these things. After you meditate upon it, say, now give yourself wholly unto these things. When you do those two things, what will happen? You're profiting. Say, you're profiting. We appear unto all. That means at that time, that prophet was yet to appear in the life of Timothy. That's why he gave him those instructions that meditate on these things. Give yourself wholly to these things, that your profiting may appear unto all. You find in the body of Christ today, you know, people don't take the things of God serious. We see the things of God with levity. Why? Because if an option, if you have option, two options of what to do, either to choose to come to go to church or to go about our personal business, most of us will go about our personal business. Why? Because we believe, like when we were sharing the other day, if you say people should come and pray, they run away. Why? Because they, in their own mind, they have what you call the opportunity cost, the cost of totality forgone. So they prefer to go home or go to their work in the evening, like on 3 hours after, than to come to church, because they believe that if I work more, I will make more. And you see, it's worked thus far. But she gave an announcement on that day, and she said something. She said, the recess time is what? Over. And she qualified this, that those that suppose that gain is godliness. These are some of the things I believe God wants to address today, and it's to encourage us to unto godliness. Praise the Lord. So let's open our Bibles. I put it there. I say, God wants our profiting as Christians to appear to all, not just some people, not just amongst ourselves. He wants people to see that indeed this thing we are preaching is true. So when they see that thing, you know, it will attract them to that message. Because the same thing, I'm getting that out of myself. That's why I said, you know, mom said something, that word advertisement, I kept on thinking about it. You see, he said, go into the world and preach the gospel to everybody. So, and this sign shall follow them that believe. He said, you shall lay hands on the sick and shall recover. Miracles, signs, and wonders is for advertisements of the gospel. Same thing with prosperity. Same thing with prosperity. You see, the world only understands what they can see. Because they don't learn to live by faith. So until that thing begins to appear and they begin to see it, are you following me? Most of them will look at you and what is this saying? No, they have an idea. You banning only one sorrow. Talika alone, lie idea. What kind of idea do you have? And you are like this. What am I saying? But you see, but God wants to wipe away that reproach. That's what Bible's book of Psalm. And it's going to happen in this season of God's appearing. You know, Psalm 102, verse 16 says something. It says that when the Lord shall build up Zion, it shall appear in his glory. We're in that season of his appearing. We are in that season. We talk very well. So let's open our Bible to book of Isaiah, chapter 66, verse 5. Remember, the title of the message is the appearing of our prophecy to all. Isaiah 66, verse 5. Hear ye the word of the Lord. Ye that tremble at my word. Let's look at this word. Your brethren. Let's look at it. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my namesake character, and said, let the Lord be glorified. But he shall appear to your glory, to your joy, and they shall both be ashamed. So God is talking to us and those that are watching. He said that your brethren that have cast you out, you know, this kind of message, nobody wants to come and gather and listen to being humble. If you call a meeting in Nigeria today about being humble, people will not go there. But if it's about prosperity, about breakthrough, you find thousands of Christians like unbelievers trooping there. So God says here, he says that, look, he said that, hear ye the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word, your brethren, Christians, that have hated you and cast you out of my name's sake, and said, let the Lord be glorified. But it shall do what? It shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. What are we saying? I'll just put some definition behind this thing to know what we mean by profiting. I want to study Pastor Rick Remer, and he defined profiting like this, one of Rick Remer's. He said that before I define it, I put it as a profiting in Christianity is not just material and financial prosperity alone, but an all-round prosperity of a spirit, soul, body, healing and health, material and financial prosperity. So it's not only about money. So I don't want us to be money-minded. Or else we'll end up believing that gain is godliness. It's an all-round prosperity in which people look at your life, they look at your character, they look at your business, they look at your children. Like the Bible says, say everything sets the hands on to do prospers. That is God's definition of prosperity. So we need to enlarge, you know, open our mind to what God's definition of prosperity is. You know, Bible says, whatever he says, I'll do, shall prosper. Now, this is what Pastor wrote, and I will just quote. The pastor said that, in what Rick Remer said, that the incentive to profit is divinely given to man by God. And all creativity and innovation that leads to profit is inspired and led by God. I'll read it again. It says that the incentive to profit is divinely given to man by God. And all creativity and innovation that leads to profit is inspired and led by God. God is behind Christians profiting. We need to see, I say there are two extremes in the body of Christ that believe, some believe that when you are poor, you must be humble. We call that not humility. And the other extreme is that those that merchandise the gospel, that abuse prosperity. But the balance, we need to understand and walk in the middle road, that it is God's design that will profit. Let's put the scripture behind Isaiah 48, verse 17. Isaiah chapter 48, verse 17. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm grateful. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord thy God, which what? Teacheth thee to profit. Let's look at it. Teacheth thee to what? Profit. Which leadeth thee in the way that thou shouldest go. So we see here that God desires that we profit. Spirit, soul, body, health-wise, financial, material blessings, You know, God desires it. There's none of us that will have children here in the natural. And they will not be doing well. And they keep coming back to you to ask for money. You know, they graduated. They're supposed to be working. And then they come back to you and they keep on asking. You can't delegate something to them. So if you've been evil, like the Bible says, know how to give good things to your own children. How much more shall your Heavenly Father give good things to them that ask Him? So it is God's pleasure to give us the kingdom. We need to establish that fact in our minds. It is our redemptive right to prosper. Not just to have our needs met, which is good, is a starting point, but to be rich. God wants us to be rich. He wants us to be rich. I must be bold about it. Because if we are not rich, the things He has told us to do, we will not be able to do them. So we need to be rich. We'll see how we'll be rich now. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 45 verse 19. In Amplified. Isaiah 45 verse 19. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Not a long message. I'm just echoing what mommy said. I have not spoken in secret. In a corner of a land of darkness. I did not call the descendants of Jacob to a fruitless service. Saying, seek me for nothing, but I promised them a just what reward. I, the Lord, speak righteousness, the truth, trustworthy, straightforward, correspondence. Let me read from here. Correspondence between deeds and words. I declare things that are right. So God is declaring to us today. He says, I've not called you guys to serve me for nothing. How many of us go and work somewhere and they will tell you that there is no salary? The motivation would have been removed. Now, we're not about to be money-minded, but the body is saying, look, I've not called you. All the things I've told you to do, I've not just told you to come and do them in vain. I'm the one that will teach you to profit. Praise the Lord. So what is prosperity? Pastor said, he said, prosperity is having the ability to use God's power, wisdom and skill to tap into and where necessary, and to also create physical resources to meet your physical needs. It's beyond money. It's the ability to use God's power to create where necessary to meet every demand. It has to do with wisdom, online wisdom, creativity, knowledge of witty inventions. It goes beyond competition. This person just bought this, so I have to buy this. It goes beyond that. That's the level of carnality. God wants to raise us up to a higher level of prosperity. That's why he says that, I beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. That sums up the entire meaning of prosperity. Good health. Good health. I'm getting out of myself. You know, when I was praying some time ago, when Pastor shared the message and he said something, he said that we should give our life, spiritual and body to God, like Anna gave Samuel to God. So he said we should pray. We prayed that day. And I started praying that prayer. So the Lord spoke to me. He took my mind back to some years ago when Life Force used to be in the Bodija before they moved to permanent site. I was praying and he asked me, and he reminded me of how landlords used to give their house to Life Force. You know, they were rushing to give it to Lifeford. Why? Because anytime Lifeford takes the house, they will do everything up. They will paint it. They will change the doors. They will put everything that was in there. The value of the house increases by the time Lifeford leaves the place. So God now told me, he said, if in the natural, Lifeford will do that, you think if you give me your spirit, your soul, and your body, I will just use that body and abandon it? Like some tenants do? You see, the issue is this. If we give our body, our spiritual body to God, believe me, God is not a bad tenant. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. He will give life to that body. God will not use it. You see, there's something about God. I'm just coming to me. I'll go back to my notes. I don't want to digress too much. Remember when he used Peter's boat? He said, please borrow me your boat. Peter said, after I used the boat. But this, hold on. Peter allowed him to finish using the boat. When the mission was accomplished, he said, cast the net to the other side.
And Peter was like, oh God, we been doing this thing. We didn't get, I said, casting net to the other side. And what did it happen? They caught so much fish that they could not get enough. Peter had not yet learned his lesson. After he resurrected, the same thing happened again. Let's go out fishing. I did this thing that we say we should give to God. My life, my spirit, soul, and body. And we are not sure again. The master has gone. They went and fished and they got nothing. And the master came again. He wasn't angry. He said, Peter. Peter said, children, do you have fish? And he said, okay. They started coming. Before they got there, he had provided. How did he get his own fish? He had cooked the fish. He was ready to serve them. Then after he served them, that's not about the master. He doesn't condemn. He said, Peter, because he was the leader, he don't let them astray. Like many churches have led God's people astray and they are fishing today. And he said, Peter, lovest me more than this. I've shown you the first time. When you gave me your boat, whatever it is that God has asked for, and you caught more than enough. Now I'm telling you, do this thing I've called you to. Feed my sheep, feed my lamb. Teach them about the gospel I was telling us today. You know, about the knowledge of their inheritance. So they can grow. Then all these other things I will add to you. You know, I said, cast the same thing. The same thing. They cast net the other side. And they did. This time the net started breaking. Listen, without them, what would have happened if they had gone to do that assignment? I follow me. They would have saved themselves unnecessarily all night. Like many of us do, praying about things that are not important. Praise the Lord. So what are we saying? Prosperity or wealth is what money cannot buy. Now, why is this message very important to us? You know, it's not a long message. It's just to exhort us. Because the season has changed. The plowman is about to overtake the reaper. Man says that they that labor. He said they shall be first partaker of the fruit. You see what I mean as I go on? Why is this message important? It's very important. One mentioned the other day. He says, I say, our words have been stout against God because of the prosperity of the wicked. I can't deny it. Many times I've been situations in my life where I have a need and it's like, God, we've been fasting, doing these things. In my heart, I could still be there praying with everybody. I'm saying, oh my God, but look at the way, you know, I won't mention, but like, why now? But God, look at God, and I have to be believing God. I don't go and meet them and borrow. Yeah, so you know you preach perfection to people. They've laughed at you, they've left the church, they've gone away, they are doing what they want to do, and then you are broke. And you now go, please yourself. I don't wonder you can just No, the Bible says the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the Lord of righteous. Let the righteous put their hand forth to iniquity. We'll see why and the delay in these things. It's not because God is withholding from us. One, is because there's a season and a time for this abundance to come. And then two, there's something we need to do to tap into that abundance. Praise the Lord. Malachi chapter 3 verse 13. If you notice, let's keep it. It says that Malachi chapter 3 says, your words, let's read together. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Is God talking to them? Say, yet you say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Next verse. You have said it is vain to serve God. And what profit? Say, what profit? What profit is it that you have kept his ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? Next verse. And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that walk wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. At one point in time, you must have done this before. Because the people that God is talking about is those that fear the Lord. Next verse. Say, and they that fear the Lord. So it's not talking about unbelievers. Because God sees the heart as you come, he looks at it. But see, God's response was not in anger. Say, but they that fear the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord what? Hearkened, and he beat them on the head. Is that what he did? Look, I begin to see God more and more nowadays. Indeed, God is a comforter. The Bible says that I will send another comforter. That means the master is a comforter. And the Bible says, Paul said that God that comforts us in our tribulation, that is their character. They're not here to beat you on the head. Even they correct. That correction is done in love. What I'm saying is, speak of another, and another can heard it. And what? A book of remembrance was written before him of them that fear the Lord and are taught upon his name. Next verse. And they shall be mine. And they shall be mine, said Lord of hosts. In that day, when I make up my jewels, I will spare them as a man spares his own son. That's having is a day of vengeance. So God is saying, I'm going to spare them. God is saying, I'm going to spare them in this day of vengeance from all that is coming in the world. We have come to a place whereby your money can't save you. The things that are happening in the world. Look at that rich fool. He laid up treasures, so to speak, for the end time. And God said, today we are going to ask for your soul. It could be sickness. It could be anything. It could even be not being in the right place, not under the right covering like Pastor Colin was preaching. That will not be a portion in Jesus' name. So what are we saying? It's those that fear the Lord that are speaking often one to another. God, this is what you said I should do. I've done it. But how come there seems to be a delay? How come, look at this person, God, they attempt you. They do all kinds of things in the church today. And yet they seem to be delivered. But God did not say, okay, don't worry. There's a season I'm going to open a book of remembrance. And when that season that God is opening that book of remembrance in the name of Jesus Christ. Second point I have is this. Most of God's people, like Mommy said, have been envious at the wicked. And this condition has affected the service in the house of God. You see, when you are envious, let me give an example. Somebody does not do what you do, doesn't fast, doesn't pray, and just seems to get the answers fast like that. When you come to pray, if you are not careful, if you don't have a vision or a goal, or somebody has exhorted you that don't give up, don't give up. If you come to pray, you're going to be praying in tongues and you're going, blah, 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 blah. You're going to fall asleep. God, they will begin to taunt you. But why are you wasting your time? Can't you see XYZ there? He started this church some time ago. He has so and so branches. He began to point to you those that are supposed to gain his godliness. And if you're not careful, it can weary your hands. You know that you're not praying. But see, the zeal goes out that God expects you to be. Then you begin to, some people do it, will not do it in Jesus' name. You know, when we say something in those days, when we were privileged to be called to the intercessor, she would say something. She would say, everything you must give it. Not in terms of money now, your life. And you, there's this, that is, you can't hide what you have. Are you following me? You must lay down all at the altar. Are you following me? So what are we saying? God does not want us to envy the wicked. As you read from Psalm 73, verse 1. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Psalm 73, verse 1. It says, but as for me, my feet, just put it into because of time. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. It didn't go. My steps had well nigh slipped. Next verse. For I was envious at the foolish, and when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. It's the old David. When he saw people prospering, not in righteousness, his feet almost slipped. Verse 12. Verse 12, because of time. It says that, behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Now, I was all preparing. God told me, said, why is it that the ungodly prosper? It's very simple. Because they don't keep the word. The Bible says, persecution and affliction ariseth for the work's sake. So if you don't keep the word, automatically, Satan will not bring persecution or affliction. Do you get that? You see, because Bible says, when they began to keep the word, the parables were, say, persecution and affliction will arise for the word's sake. To try and stop them from keeping that word. But because these people don't keep the word, I talk about the word now, the word of perfection, perfect love of God, because they don't do it, Satan leaves them. Say, so I set them in slippery places. So until I went to the sanctuary and I now saw their end. We'll see. So what have I said to them? I said, if we are not careful, we may begin to take the things of God lightly. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 47. God says something. He said that because we have not served me joyfully, there should be so much joy in our hearts when we come to do something for God. You should be happy. You should be joyful. Counting it a privilege for God to even call you to come and serve him. Deuteronomy 20:47. What does it say? Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart, for the abundance of all things. Next verse. Therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send unto thee, and hunger and thirst. Who are the enemies here? They're not physical enemies, so to say. It's the carnal mind. They don't get delivered from the carnal mind. The Bible says the enmity with God. For God wants us to serve him with joy. Praise the Lord. So what are we saying? So God does not want us to envy the wicked. What I was studying, see, the wicked are supposed to be envious of us Christians. And I gave you an example in the Bible. Isaac. Genesis chapter 26, verse 12. We're going to look at Isaac as a type as we continue today. Genesis chapter 26, verse 12. What does it say? Let's go. Then Isaac sowed in the land and received in the same year another fruit, and what the Lord blessed him. Next verse. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. Next verse. For you see, at this time, as he kept growing, they were not yet envious. But now God said, and he had what? Possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and great store of servants and Philistines. And the Philistines did what? They envied him. We are not supposed to envy them. They are supposed to envy us. When they look at our lifestyle, they will look at it after they've done. In this place, they block the wells that Abraham, his father, the dog. And yet the guy kept on prospering. He did everything. He kept on prospering. So what are we saying? God wants the world to envy us. He does not want us to envy the wicked. Proverbs 24 verse 1. He says that we should not envy the wicked. Who is a wicked person? A wicked person, Pastor has taught us, is a Christian that casts instructions behind him. Psalm 50. It can also be those that are not born again. Automatically. Say, be thou not what? Envious or against evil men, neither desire to be with them. Don't long to be with them. Verse 19. Thank you, Lord, Holy Spirit. Help me, Lord. Thank you. 19. Fret not thyself because of evil men, neither be thou envious at the wicked. Verse 20. God says something. For there shall be no reward to the evil man, and the candle of the wicked shall be put out. God says there's no reward though. Now, depends on the reward you are looking for. Is the reward of making more money? You can get it. Many have gotten it, but their candle are put out prematurely. Bible says that, it seems very clear, Psalm 91, it says that, with long life will I satisfy him, that I might show him my salvation, spirit, soul, and body. That's the reason why you are living. But the wicked is only amassing wealth for himself. He does not think about the poor. So God says, don't envy him. God, don't envy him, because one day his candle will put out. I say, apart from that, there's no reward. What is that reward I'm talking about? I was not preaching beautifully today, you know, about the reward of the inheritance. That's why you are working, you know? That's why everybody's in a training school. I don't care where you're working, either in a bank, in your office, anywhere you're working. The scripture says in Luke, Master was talking. He said, if you have not been faithful, that is with little. He said, who will make you rule over much? He said, if you have not been if you have been unjust in little, who will give us much? He said, now this is something very important. He said, if you have been unfaithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will give you the true riches? Now finally, he said, if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, wherever you're working, he said, who will give you your own? So he said, the key is not with the world, the key is with you and I. Like the key was with Joseph. You see, as you continue on this walk, I discover that obedience is very important. The fact that God called you and said, go and walk here or do whatever, you have to be obedient. Take, for example, Joseph. When Joseph was in the house of Potiphar, a slave doesn't have anything. But Potiphar said that, because of you, I'm prosperous. Same thing with Jacob. But let's just look at Joseph. But a temptation came along the way. You know, so when Potiphar says, lie with me. Lie with me could be anything. Let me just use the word compromise. You know, in the natural, if many Christians would have failed that test, because lie with me is not just lie with me for fun. What am I going to give you? Don't worry, I will tell God, they will buy you a car and then they will increase your salary. She must have told him that, or his mind, or run through his mind. He said, "Temptation, he gave the Lord Jesus Christ on the mount. So just bow down and worship me. I'll give you this. You don't have to. All this slavery you are doing, wearing rags around the place, I'll just tell Oga." We said, "How can I do this thing and sin against God?" They that fear the Lord speak often. You must not lose the fear of God, though. We must not lose that fear as we obey God on this walk. If you had done it, that would have been the end. And I would have been laughing into scorn. And he said, "God called him." And we don't know what. We will not know. We'll just die one day. He said, "God called him." And he said, "God called him." You see, now we've told him all this thing. You are praying and all this thing. You have not knowing that it's not God's fault. The same thing with Moses. God called Moses. He said, "Go and deliver the people." On the way, God was going to kill the same Moses. Nobody knew. If you didn't read, you wouldn't know. He would have just died. But we know what the story. He must have told his wife that God has said we should circumcise. God has told Abraham. His wife was a Midianite, and he didn't believe in circumcision. So he opposed the claim. "No, you can't circumcise. Oh, you can't circumcise by Jesus. We don't believe in all this nonsense." God said, "Hey, you're going to obey your wife. Okay, we'll see. Go and fulfill your purpose." He would have died on the way. People have said, "Oh, Marshall." He said, "God told him to go and serve him." He's been walking. Finally, on his way, so God forbid, not be a portion. Something happened and he passed on. That's what am I trying to say? Not to put fear into us. You see, you can't afford to be disobedient in this calling that God has called us to. You have to keep on walking, trusting God for mercy, to be faithful unto the end. Praise the Lord. And that said, you know, so I have mentioned that. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And we read that. The next thing I want to, final point I want to talk about, is that we have mentioned it in passing, is that we are in the season of his appearing in us in glory, which will bring the end time prosperity to preach the gospel of a kingdom for a witness. Or let me put this way, advertisement. God wants to advertise. You see, you can't, there's some places you, let's face reality, there's some places you will not enter into if there is a level of prosperity. You see, the prosperity we are talking about is not just money. Let me give you an example. I think it was Elisha. When the widow that didn't have a child, also the woman that came to him, he said something, showed that he wasn't only anointed. He said, "What do you want? You want me to talk to so and so for you?" The man said, No. He said, "Why?" That means he had connections, people respected him in the nation. So he involves everything around prosperity. That you will say something and then unbelievers will take what you have said and start applying it to their lives. They respect you. They give you honor. It's already happening in our midst. Respect, honor. Whatever they say, people will come for what nice service. People that don't come to church at all, they will come. What are they saying will happen this year? Willing to run with it. So what are we saying? It's a season in which God wants to manifest his glory. And it's that glory that will bring this great wealth we're talking about, the ability of the mind of Christ. No, I said God wants to advertise. You see, in the time of Solomon, Paul says silver was counted as nothing. I'll give an example. As I was, before I came on, a thought came on, I will share. I think it's God wants me to say it. But I'll read the scripture before. Say Haggai 2:6. It says that I shake the heavens and the earth. Said I will fill this house with glory. The glory of his latter house shall be greater than the former. Says, the silver is mine, the gold is mine, and in this place will I give peace. Talking about the end time church, he was telling them, if you read the earlier verse, he said, those of you that are here today, look at the house of Solomon, the temple. He said, what do you consider it if you look at this one? He said, there's nothing compared to it. We have never seen this kind of wealth before. You can't even describe it. For you to hear that Solomon was dumping silver at the refuse dump, nobody has ever done that before. It was counted as nothing. Advertisement. Folks, I've seen something. You cannot eat more than your tummy. That was the old lesson of the wilderness. That God was giving them manna every day. They had gold. They had everything. But what I'm trying to say is you are going to the promised land, though. So you can't eat more than your tummy. Are you following me? That's why we will see why it's very important. Why the delay has come. That was what God was trying to teach them. But you're going to go inherit things you didn't build, vineyards you didn't build. It's about, listen, you can't eat more than your tummy. Some of us, if money comes today in our different houses, they can't go and tie 10 cows. Because they don't have an understanding of why God has given the wealth. We have an understanding in Jesus' name. So whatever you don't have an understanding of, you're going to abuse it as you preach the gospel. That's what happened to them in the wilderness. You see, God had promised them that he said they should go and spoil the Egyptians. Imagine they spoiled them so much, they had so much gold to build the tabernacle that they had to beg them to stop giving. So you can imagine, at the end of the day, before Moses came down to give them the commandments of the tabernacle, this guy built a golden calf. Why? Because there's not no reason for the wealth. Now, by God, will only give someone that had an understanding. Maybe that's why God has not given to me, you and I yet. And he's delaying it. Because the prosperity of fools will destroy them. Will not be fools in Jesus' name. Isaiah 45 verse 14. This end time wealth, we have not seen anything like it before. There's a work to be done. What does it say? Isaiah 45 says, thus saith the Lord, the labor of Egypt, that's the word, and the merchandise of Ethiopia and of the Sabians, men of stature, shall come over unto you, and they shall be thine, and they shall come after thee in chains, and they shall come over, and they shall fall down unto thee, and they shall make supplication unto thee, saying, surely God is in thee, and there is none else. Let me give you an example. You don't understand what God is trying to say. It looks impossible, I will say it. Can you imagine Bill Gates coming into this place and saying, God is in this? You know what God wants to do? God is saying that the glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former. You know what God wants to do? You know, I'll give a little example. With all his wealth, it will be like when the magicians, they threw down their rods and it became a snake. And then Moses throws down his rod and then your own rod swallows up their prosperity. This is not ordinary prosperity. There's a divine hand behind this prosperity. And yet, in the midst of all that you are doing, your attitude does not change. You are courteous, you are gentle, you are meek, you are lowly. It's only God that can behave like this, because it's only God that behaves like that. That will leave everything and then become a man. And go to humble and say, actually, God is indeed. Praise the Lord. Psalm 67 verse 7, when I was reading some time ago, after Mommy shared, I was just reading my Bible, not my Bible. And God told me, I read it and he said, I should read it again. I read it again. He says, what? Well, says, God shall bless us and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. They will reverence you. Better take it easy. How much do you have that you are calling Sonia and you are shouting over the place? Go to that church. All these so-called G-Wag on your church, they are taking to missionary field. Let me give an example. I told him I was preparing. There was a time that there was a Jeep that Pastor and Mommy had. One red Jeep like this. Pajero. Thank you, sir. Pajero. And they were to go to the mission to Ahingba. How many people will take your Jeep to Ahingba? Mommy said, take it. And they went. Some of the people are, they will just wash and then they will pack it. Then he only goes out on special occasions. So what I'm saying, talking about now, that silver is what they just throw outside. When you understand what God wants to do, you're not going to fall to the darts of the wicked one that they tossed in the church recently, that people contemplating whether to give tithes or not to give tithes. Nonsense and rubbish. So you want your pastor to be walking around? Is that what you want? Don't you understand the work we want to do? I remember a fella in those days, when people were shouting about Mercedes-Benz and Volvo, the man bought everything, he put a carrier on top of it, and was used to carry refuse. All over Lagos, to try and disgrace us, I was shouting that I have a obokun. What am I saying? Miracles will be common thing. Prosperity will be so common. Silver. Let me tell you, now we are begging people to come and pray. They are not coming. If they pack G wagons or whatever outside, 30 of them say they are going to the village to die that day, people will line up. Oh. But see, God doesn't want to wait till that time. He wants you to begin to do those things now. Like when we were sharing, he said, are we doing these things? Are we comforting them that mourn? Binding up the brokenhearted. Don't wait for the spirit that matters to manifest in prosperity before you start doing this thing, because it's going to happen. Where all these things that people are running about, you know, they will come and give you. And then you just take it, you just go to the mission field. And then you come back. And people say, I want to join that church. Why? God has sent me to missions. Now people are not joining because they want to go abroad for missionary. Praise the Lord. So what are we saying? They will fear us. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 10. It says, then all the earth shall be afraid of thee. They will fear. It says, and all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord. And in the presence of the Lord. And they shall be afraid of you. They'll be afraid. But can somebody have so much wealth and still be humble? Can somebody have so much wealth? And we are coming to a time that you see, these things, I don't want to say, so it's not be as if we are trying to over. But if you can have air conditioners in these event centers, is it wrong to have air conditioners in the house of God? We need to change our thinking, no? We change our thinking. You go to the event center, you are happy. I was refreshed. So do you want to come to church and then be sweating? Now that is not about end. But what we are saying is this: all those things are going to be added. God will add them in so much that we won't know what to do with them again. Praise the Lord. So how are we going to get these things? I put it there, by becoming an Isaac. Let's say together, by becoming an Isaac. We need to look closely at the life of Isaac. What I mean by that, in summary again, just with types and shadows, is that we need to follow on to know the Lord, you know, perfect love of God in our lives. We look at the life of Isaac. Before he got those presents, we come to a place that Abraham said, and Abraham gave Isaac all, a type of God the Father, gave him all, and sent the children of the concubine away with gifts. So let's look at Isaac's submission and obedience, which is the first thing. These are the things that God is looking at. Isaac's obedience and submission started in Genesis 22. He did not get anything until Genesis 25. There is a progression. Obedience, Genesis 22, verse 9. Just to pick what I need. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Obedience. Submission and obedience to God and to those instructions of those that God has put over you. If you cannot do that, forget prosperity. Isaac could have run away or take the way of escape and go and tell Sarah. Mommy, you know what daddy wants to do? Did he wants to kill me. I can't tell you how many is more than a guy. There'll be a fight in the house. Then God probably would have been hindered. But the guy just kept on saying, "Ah, Father, I can see this. Where is this?" He said, "Don't worry." In faith, he said, "God will provide himself a lamb." No story, and they went ahead. They bound him, they put him on the altar, and they kept quiet. So God wants to see for what? Our submission and obedience. The next thing that as we see in Isaac's life, which you read earlier in 1 Timothy chapter 4, is meditate. Yes, sir. We need to meditate on these things. I put the scripture here about the obedience. It says, not loving our lives unto the death. You know, we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, but there's one that we need to qualify. We must not love our lives until when it seems as if those promises will not come to pass. Meditated. Genesis 24, verse 63. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I bring you to round up. And Isaac went out to do what? To meditate. Say meditate. In the field at the eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and he saw, and behold, the camels were coming. This talks about when they were going to bring Rebekah. This man was meditating on being godly. He was not distracted with the cares of his life. They had told him that all we know that was that Abraham said, "How will we get a wife for you?" I'm not even sure whether I discussed it with him. But the guy was resting. You see, the first thing is that he showed his obedience to his father. The second is that he believed so much that this meditation on godliness is more important. Give yourself holy. So he went to the even time. In the even time there shall be light. So the man was met. He was not agitated. He was not fretting himself about the wicked Esau. Ishmael. By that time, I think Ishmael had married or two or three wives. He was not fretting. He just kept his focus on this message. So he meditated on the word. Now the next time we see about Isaac, which we need to cultivate, which you are already doing by the grace of God, is that we must be moderate. Say moderate. Moderate. Genesis 24, verse 6, 7. He had only one wife. He did not indulge. This prosperity is not to indulge. It's for advertisement. So he didn't marry one wife and put him there. Marry the, you may say, I've not married any wife. But the thing is the moderation. Moderation means avoidance of extremes. You avoid extremes. When people pump you up and pump you up and pump you up and pump you up. And then you just begin to see. You, Nigeria is so funny. Just to digress for a second. There's this machine that they used to spray money. Spray gun. Can you imagine? They know what we want. Or what they want, not me. So they just stack the money inside. They begin to shoot like this. Bah, bah. By the day we're jumping out, jumping out, jumping out, jumping out. Can you imagine? Vanity upon vanity. All is vanity. Moderation. Genesis 24 verse 67. They say, all is this. And Isaac brought her, Rebecca, into his mother's Sarah's tent. And took Rebecca. And she became his wife. And he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Period. Now you may say I won't marry a second wife. No. Let's see what this thing means. Deuteronomy 17 verse 17. Is anything that turns your heart away from God? You are married to that thing. It could be your laptop. That's the definition. It's not marriage. How can you be scrub as a go and marry a second wife? You are in trouble. Ah, Nibo. You marry a second wife. You are in we can't do that. It's not possible. Anybody goes here. You marry a second wife. But what are you talking about? Deuteronomy 17:7. You are dead. Exactly. You are just dead. You are just dead. Just as you are married a second wife, just buy a coffin. Yes, just buy a coffin. But you are just dead. What does it say? Deuteronomy 17. It says, neither shall he multiply wives to himself. Now, this is the reason we need to see that what his heart turned not away, now shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. So anything that turns your heart away from God has become your wife. An idol. So it's not wife. Leave wife alone. Your wife, call wife me. Go and ask for him. That's why Isaac and Jacob. They almost killed Jacob. And today, you can pay for mandrakes. And tomorrow, wife, call wife. Is there anything that turns your heart away from God? So God does not want anything, whatever it is. I'm not saying don't use your computer. I'm not saying it is wrong. Anything that takes your attention away from God, that takes your heart, your time away from God, you begin to go where it could be your job, it could be anything, it could even be your wife. That's the lesson we need to learn. So Philippians chapter 4 verse 5. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm going to stop now. 4, 5. What does it say? Philippians 4, 5. It says that let your moderation be known unto all men. Why? Because the Lord is at hand. You see, the world needs to know our moderation. You can't be behaving like every other unbeliever. Because they see you that you have so much, and then you just use what you need. Say, okay, give this one, give this one, give. They say, come. I heard that they own this place. Yes. I heard that they own, yes. And they are wearing Ankara to church. Yes. You. That's what I'm trying to say. People begin to, that will attract them. That gain is not godliness. Is there anybody that has money in this nation today? There are some things that you will acquire. You can enter some certain circles. So they will do anything to get it. Either they will kill, they will cheat, they will steal money. Why is there still money in government? To improve their status quo. But if you have moderation, you have so much in righteousness. So much. And then you are moderate. That's what God wants to see, your character. Very humble, you come and pray. 3 hours after, you come, you tell your congregation, when I was reading my Bible this morning, you mean you after all this, you taught us, pastor, you still read your Bible? If I know all this, I won't read my Bible again. No, please read your Bible. I'm just trying to make us understand. Do you have to say? So much. You know,
You see, I want not. Pastor says, I privilege to take him to church on Sundays. He will be praying. He doesn't have time. He doesn't have time for nonsense. Once he enters, he's praying. Non-stop, he's praying. He doesn't have an idea. He has not watched the TV in the gym gone before. He has not even touched it before. Now he drives it. The day he said he was going to drive it, I felt that God must have done something bad today. Pastor wants to drive. He said, praise, Joey, sit at the back. I could not sit. I said, what have I done today? I must have done something so bad that pastor doesn't want to drive this guy. No, he doesn't count as anything. We just drove, parked this thing, parked it, gave the key, goes upstairs, comes downstairs again. He's not making me jiggy that some of us would do. Or like the world would do. Same thing with mommy. I'm giving the examples because God said I should give them. We can see, so you can learn. So when your own world comes, you know what to do. They will not be looking for you at 3 hours after. They'll not be looking for you at all night. They'll not be looking for you at on Wednesday prayer school. In fact, you will come even more when you have the wealth. You know why? Because God wants to see where your faith is. If you have so much, it's easy not to pray about finances. Who wants to pray about finances when you have $3 billion in your account? What do you want to pray about? But don't put your faith in that. Let your faith be in God. So when your faith is in God, they will see you. You come and pray. You do the same thing you tell them to do. I follow me. So that's why God wants, what wants our moderation to be known. Why? Because the Lord is at hand. Now, finally, what happened? I put it here. After Isaac passed all these tests, then Abraham gave all to him. He must pass the test of obedience. Must pass the test of meditation. I must also pass the test of moderation. After that, Genesis chapter 25, verse 5. Thank you, Holy Spirit. What does it say? And Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac. He gave all, everything he had to Isaac. And he gave the children of the concubines gift. So we're not saying that people are prospering now. What we're saying is that most of them have gifts. They have gifts. But the son of the inheritance, the son of promise, those that follow on to know the Lord, I follow me, they are going to get the spirit without measure, which is the key. When the glory hits the house, then this is a part of the ability of the mind of Christ. I know, like the sand of the seashore, like Solomon, overnight. Like he says, we didn't read Malachi. He said, then shall you know the stand between the righteous and the wicked. They have served God and then they have served. Now we don't know. People don't know. It's only at our close have an idea. But the world does not know. Many people in church do not know because they are counting, they should not be counting. But you see, God is going to do something. He says that the husbandman that laboreth shall be partaker first of the fruits. So what are we saying? God gave everything to him. So we too, we must, let's get to meditate on these things. What things? You need to think it through. That godliness is profitable unto all things. Being like God is profitable unto all things. What does meditation do? It brings us to a place of being fully persuaded that godliness is profitable. You see, you need to look at these things. Think them through. When you see that it is true, that God will not shortchange you if you lay down your life for him. That God will give you abundant health. Like I gave the example of life and the buildings. That if I serve God with my spirit, soul, and body, he can't just abuse the house and then just vacate the house. No way. No way. If I give God my boat to fish, that something is coming. Now, I'm not because of what is coming, but I count it a privilege and an honor to lay down heaven and have at the feet of the master. So meditation, that is what he does. Mark, Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. That is the condition. That this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do, and in so doing you make your way prosperous and have good success. So we start with meditation. That involves your prayer, your Bible study, and everything that we do. 7 pillars of wisdom. Then the second thing is, now after we do that, the second thing is very simple. We give ourselves wholly unto being godlike, using the blood, the word, and the spirit to perfect love of God in our lives, which will cause our profiting to appear. I give you a scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 3. When Paul was talking about love, he says something. It's one of the sisters. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. And though I give my body to be born, and I have not love,
it profited me nothing. That means if I have love, it will profit me everything. I think it's that simple. So it is love, perfection of the love of God, that brings about the profiting that we're talking about. When you perfect that love, God knows this one will not abuse it. This one will not marry many wives. This one will not abuse the money given to him like Solomon did at the end of the day. So it is the love of God that will perfect that brings this profiting that we're talking about. Charity profiteth and brings about everything. Mark 12, verse 30, as we close. Thank you, Holy Spirit. That's scripture for today. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all, did he say some? All thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is what the first commandment. When you understand that godliness, God has not called us to serve him in vain. That's going to bring all these things that Gentiles are running after right to your feet. Then you're going to serve God with all your mind, all your will, everything you have. You're going to lay it on your altar. You're not going to run away from prayer meeting. But you understand what is to come. You're not going to be afraid like other Ishmael. You're going to be like Isaac. Lay down your life in obedience. Meditate on the word. Back to the last scripture in 1 Timothy. That Timothy, Paul was telling Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 15. He says, meditate upon this, meditate upon these things. Give thyself what? Holy unto them. That what? Thy profiting may appear unto all. Praise the Lord. Let's talk to the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's talk to God. Let's ask God for mercy. Where we have envied the wicked in our hearts. God is not condemning us, but he's letting us know that we have entered a season of remembrance in which he's opening his book. So he's encouraging us to be steadfast, to hold fast to that which you have, so that no man takes our crown. Let's talk to God. Let's ask him to help us. It's not of him that willeth, of him that runneth, but whom God showeth mercy. Let's ask God to help us. Grace to be obedient to things I've been told to do. Grace to meditate on the word, to operate these principles. It takes the mercy and grace of God. And then finally, let God see our moderation in the things that we do. That even though we have so much access to a lot of things, yet we only use it for what the Master tells us to do. A scripture comes to my heart as we're talking to the Lord. The Lord had the fullness of the anointing on his head, but always did what the Father told him to do. He could have bought bread for them when they were hungry, but he multiplied it. He had so much power to heal everybody at the pool of Bethesda, but only healed one person. See, we obey, we use this measure of the Spirit that God has given us in obedience to instruction. He could have gone to the pool of Bethesda, said, everybody be healed, and have disobeyed the Father. But you know, he went there, just told that by, pick up your bed and walk, and he disappeared from the place in instruction to what the Lord wanted to do. Praise the Lord. Let's stand to our feet as we sing this song. Everything.
Everything. Everything. Lord, you are everything to me.
Everything.
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 Respond to Lord has been taught. Let's put one out on our hearts and raise the other hand to God as we pray. Say, Father, we confess our sins, and so we're clean with the blood from all unrighteousness, blocking our right standing with God. In Jesus' name we'll have life. Lord, please have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father,
I thank you for your word that has come to me today, reminding me that godliness is profitable unto all things, and that you want my profiting to appear to all men in this lifetime. Therefore, I come to receive afresh from you mercy and grace to enable me, under covering, to meditate on these things, to give myself wholly unto them, making you my priority as I use the blood, the word, and the spirit to perfect your love in my soul and body, that my profiting may appear unto all. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's now pray in tongues. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you so much for your mercies. Lord, just thank you for grace. We are grateful. Holy Spirit, thank you for your help. Time to open the heavens and have an recovery. Give all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name.
Great is the measure of your royalty. Of your
praise the Lord. As he was just talking now, I just want you to consider the scriptures, because the pattern son, he learned obedience. Obedience is so key. And I always say to myself and say to people around me, my children, obedience has fruit. Disobedience also has fruit. But Jesus, the pattern son, learned obedience by the things that he suffered. And the Bible says he was hurt in that he feared. The Lord will grant us great grace to walk in obedience, to hold on to instructions. See, instructions is not just a pastor telling you. No. If a pastor tells you something and it's not in the word, you don't have to hold on to it. What you need to hold on to, instruction that is your life, is the instruction that is in the word. Obedience. If Jesus learned obedience, even had to learn it as a man, he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. And the Bible says he was hurt and that he feared. If we learn obedience by the things that we suffer, we also will ask a thing and the Lord will do it. It says, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, I will do it. I will do it. So what's the key? Obedience is the key to the kingdom. Amen.
Let's show your hands, please, as we close. And so under the covering of fathers, we say, may the Lord bless and keep us all. The Lord make his face to shine upon us. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon us. The Lord our God gives us peace. God makes us head and not tail, above only and not beneath. The Lord makes us to prosper in all that we set our hands to do, making us at least 10 times better than our peers in the name of Jesus. And so we possess the gates of our enemy, even the gates of death. So we shall live, we shall not die. We shall live, we shall not die. We shall live to declare the glory of God in the land of the living. The Lord satisfies us with long life, and he shows us his salvation, the perfection and the fullness of Christ, and manifesting the Spirit without measure in the name of Jesus. And so the Lord puts upon us, under the covering of our fathers, the anointings of Enoch, of Abraham, of Joseph, of Moses, of Joshua, of Ruth, of David, of Elisha, of Daniel, of Esther, of Paul, and of John, in Jesus' name, amen.
Just before the grace, I don't know, I think there's just one more thing that I haven't said that God wants me to say. Now, you don't have to understand everything. You don't even have to know everything before you obey. So what do you mean? Look at Jesus. He didn't understand that his time had come. When they were in Cana of Galilee at the wedding, he did not know, even though he was Jesus, the Son of God, he did not know that his time had come. But his mother said, and he didn't understand, but he obeyed. He obeyed. He obeyed. And the Bible says that was the beginning of miracles. The Lord said to me, said, tell them, as I'm telling myself also, don't always wait to see. Don't always wait to understand. As long as it is in the Bible and follows the spirit of the nature of Christ, it follows the nature of Christ and is in the word, follow it. It was a good thing when they said wine was finished and there was nothing. It was a good thing to be a blessing. And that was what the mother said, bless them. And that was all Jesus understood. It's a good thing, even though he had never done it before, but he considered that it's more blessed to give than to receive. Amen.
Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Tell your neighbor you walk in perfect obedience.